Personal service. Well, the question is, must the work be done personally, or would a substitute suffice? In other words, can the worker provide a substitute to do the work for them, or to help them with the work? This is an important point. Substitution is really a significant issue here. The right of substitution was said to be inconsistent with the contract of employment in a newspaper case, Express and Echo Publications Limited versus Tanton, in 1999. And indeed, in another newspaper case, Staffordshire Sentinel Newspapers versus Potter in 2004, the court went much further and said that the existence of a substitution clause meant that there was no contract of employment. Caveat that, really, by saying the right of substitution would need to be unqualified. And the right of substitution can only be disregarded by the revenue if it is a sham. That is, if it doesn't reflect the intention of the parties. Court's authority for that was in Real Time Civil Engineering Limited versus Callaghan. This is quite an emotional subject. Really, what we've got is that the substitution or the existence of substitution shoots away the revenue's argument that it's an employment, but it has to be real. So it needs to be looked at. At the very least, there needs to be a substitution clause in a contract for services to establish self-employment, and this has to be agreed with both parties, not just the engager putting this into a contract, which the so-called self-employed person doesn't know about. The next part of this is the mutuality of obligation. And the issue of mutuality of obligation is too easily ignored or sometimes even dismissed by some, and not just by the revenue employees compliance officers. If mutuality of obligation doesn't exist, the case for self-employment or against employment is greatly strengthened. So the question to be asked should be, is the engager obliged to offer ongoing work? And is the worker obliged to accept any ongoing or future work? It's an old case in 1983, O'Kelly versus Trustos Forte. That was a long time ago, but it's still considered a leading authority on mutuality. That case was concerned with casual waiters who worked on a regular basis for the hotels in the banqueting suites, but were held to be self-employed. Think of it, how many people on the Clapham omnibus would think of a waiter as being self-employed? But the issue was, he was self-employed, or they were self-employed, because there was no legal obligation on the hotels to offer them work, and indeed none of the waiters themselves to accept the work. So the view of the court was that the regular offering and acceptance of work was down to market forces, and this did not alter the fact that there was no mutual obligation, therefore they weren't employed earners. That case established that the supply of semi-skilled labour with no great financial risk and little or no indicators of a business still resulted in self-employment. In another case in 1999, Carmichael versus National Power, the mutuality of obligation was considered as an irreducible minimum for a contract of employment, with Lord Irvine stating that the workers claimed to be employees founded on the rock of the absence of mutuality. There wasn't mutuality of obligation.